All right. Well, welcome to our EduHero Partner Podcast. I'm Kirk Konecki, the CEO and Superintendent of Indian Hill Exempt Village School District in Cincinnati, Ohio. And today I'm so proud to have Adam Coker and Andrea Aiken from Loth here with me. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. So, Adam, you and I know each other, and of course, Andrea, we've worked together pretty closely the last couple years on a pretty big deal project here at Indian Hill and really bringing our campus back to life and refreshing some spaces and then building some amazing new spaces together. You've been partners with us the entire time. I want people to know a little bit about your business. So Adam, could you just explain Loth and how you're kind of positioned as a business and maybe tell us a little bit about the background?
Sure. So Loth is a privately held corporation, family owned and operated, been operating in the Cincinnati community for over 130 years. And we're a contract furniture dealership, and our specialty or niche or differentiators, we like to understand the needs of our clients and help make a positive impact on the productivity or the engagement, learning, or healing outcomes of their people or patients or students.
Well, I love the way you describe that, like in identifying our needs, and I think that's something that we've experienced as a school community working with you. Andrea, like, how did you arrive at this type of business and in this type of job? Because, you know, you're like boots on the ground with us all the time, but to make sure those needs are met, how did you end up like finding your niche with Loth?
So I went to school for interior design and feel like that was just something that's always been really passionate to me is the interior space. I mean, every building has a box with four walls, and what you put inside of it really makes the biggest difference for how you impact that. And I think you guys should be super commended because your staff, especially your leadership staff and the people that we worked with, really cared about what was inside of that box. And so it really allowed us to ask questions and help them to understand, like, what do you need? Because anybody can put 27 desks and chairs in a classroom, but is that what you need? Is that how they're learning? Is that how things are being taught? And the answer was no, 27 square desks and chairs weren't the right answer. And we were able to kind of develop a plan to figure out what that looked like, but just the passion from your staff to help answer the questions, pilot the opportunity, and get all of the nuggets to make the space be the most productive it can be.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I know our team appreciated working with you. Adam, when you think about working with school districts and then working with our district in particular, and as that plan comes together, like Andrea was talking about, what are some of the aspects of our plan that really struck you and your team? Like, what do you take away now as a community member, as a parent, as a businessman, when you see these spaces finished with the furnishings? Are there some things that really stand out to you?
Well, I think first and foremost, and Andrea touched on it a little bit, is the approach that you and your leadership team took on the project from an engagement standpoint with the community, with the students, and with the teachers, as well as the partnership approach that you took with organizations like Loth and some of the other members of your team, in which was a highly collaborative co-development process, so to speak. But I think some of the key takeaways is that, you know, your team took on a major undertaking, building a new school and renovating three others simultaneously with one another. For people that day in, day out is not their core kind of focus or expertise. And to see the output and what these environments look like and the impact that it's having almost instantaneously to the students and the teachers is incredible. It's one of the key takeaways.
Well, that makes me proud to hear. Andrea, when you think about some of the spaces that you all helped to design, are there any that kind of you go, oh, we really got that piece right, or I'm really proud of that particular piece?
Yeah, so I think the neighborhoods are what really sticks out to me. I think as we were talking through what your master plan looks like and the C's, critical thinking, collaboration, and how do you interweave that into the student's day, I think those neighborhoods do that. Whether the teacher takes them out there, whether they have time to go out there and learn, just having an opportunity to collaborate with your peers in a non-lecture-based mode, I think is huge. And those spaces were things on paper that we, you know, shifted a million ways. But when you actually see the furniture in there, and then on top of that, I've been fortunate to see students using it, it is just such a cool element that very few districts have. But I think it really helps them prepare for critical thinking, collaboration, and just really self-awareness, right? How many middle schoolers have this beautiful collaborative space that they can go and learn with their coach, mentor, peers? And you guys have it. And it's just amazing that that space promotes so many different things.
I remember back when you all took our team to some different sites and we got to visit some different schools, but we also got to visit some furniture, for lack of a better word, warehousing, where we got to see some setup, right? And we got to see some spaces that were already designed and finished to give us some inspiration. And Adam, I remember we were talking about like the different buildings, and it sparks my memory as you were talking about across these buildings, the size of this project, how your team helped us to find furnishings that were developmentally appropriate. So in that collaboration, like, I think a lot of people sometimes think, hey, you're gonna go out and buy X number of pieces of furniture. But from your perspective, Adam, like, how did that process work for us to actually pick things that are developmentally appropriate for little people and big people across these different buildings, you know, primary, middle school, high school?
So I think one approach that we took was in the kind of co-development process was making our recommendations based upon what your needs and what the spaces included, and kind of showing you a variety in different options, and kind of understanding what the level of quality, the design aesthetic, and also the kind of the budgetary price point that had been allocated for a particular space. And so,
and when you said show us, I think you literally showed us, right? Like the idea was like, hey, why don't we set up some classrooms? Mm-hmm. And I think we ended up calling them lab sites, but you showed us by setting up some modules and some classrooms for us across those buildings.
Right. Piloted, I believe, 6 to 8 classrooms in a variety of different furniture types and settings, so that your students and your teachers could test new products and new layouts and environments and use these new tools. And I think you guys did a great job of collecting feedback before as well as after, so that you could measure the impact that it had and kind of justify your decisions moving forward.
Andrea, in your estimation, I know that takes a lot of time and effort from the company's perspective to do that, but how or did it help the process? Did it help the actual outcomes in terms of the order, what we ended up getting, what we put in place? Like, did you actually see that impact?
Yeah, I think so. So normally when you do this, you pick a classroom and then you multiply it by how many classrooms you have. I would say that's how most schools in the country really do it, right? And what we were able to do was create this kit of parts. Do you want kids to sit? Do you want them to stand? Do you want them to be in their own individual desk that they can move at their leisure? Or do you want them to be in a group setting where they can move with their group? And so what we did is kind of developed 3 different places a kid could sit. And we talk about a palette of place and how do you give everybody an opportunity to work in their best way. Is it a lounge with a laptop table? Is it a seat that they can face forward and pay very specific attention? Or is it a place that's kind of tucked in a corner that's collaborative where they can sit and learn with 3 or 4 of their friends? And so through those pilot classrooms, we were able to enact that and see how it worked and let different teachers for a semester teach in there and let different students experience it. To where really at the end of the day, we had all this data and we knew the likes and the don't likes. And so we were able to build this menu, so to speak. We truly had a menu where the staff could select what they felt like helped them. Because what you learn and teach in math isn't necessarily what you learn and teach in science.
For sure.
Or social studies. And so as you start to really look at, you know, what subjects are more collaborative, what subjects are more lecture-based, when you look at English and how you guys actually allow people to have individual reading time, you don't want to do that sitting at a desk standing straight up. So we allowed the spaces to kind of help dictate the best way to teach and learn in those spaces. And so ultimately, it just became this great kit of parts that we could select and pick from. And so I think when we went to order, we knew what everybody wanted. We knew where we needed to put the very different pieces.
And you were on the ground literally talking to teachers.
Yep.
And talking to students.
Yep.
Which I think is so amazing, right? Some people might not know that, or they might just assume, you put an order in when you're ready, even if you set up some classes. Your team, Adam, was here a lot, right? And you're watching and observing while students and adults are interacting. And ultimately, the district was able to streamline and save money in our process to purchase really high quality furniture. So it wasn't about how much Indian Hill could spend, it was how could we spend it right. And when you're seeing this process happen, obviously it takes a lot of time and energy. What do you have as an expectation from us, right, to be a good teammate? I know you touched on this, Adam, but like, what do you need from your customer to go through this type of process? Lots of schools in America are aging. Lots of facilities need to be changed. I heard Andrea say lots of people find a cookie cutter kind of process. We obviously didn't do that here. How can you help other districts, other organizations to think about it differently?
Well, I think the sharing, kind of the research and insights that we have on education through our various partnerships, such as Steelcase Learning, but also, you know, we talk about the pilot process, and I think what we need is a partner like Indian Hill, where it's a highly collaborative co-development process, where your team is engaged, you have a wide variety of stakeholders, and a willingness or commitment to step outside of your comfort zone and do something progressive that might be uncomfortable for people, and to see how it resonates with people and test new ideas.
And the testing of new ideas is so important because, like you said, Andrea, not everybody learns the same way. So for us, it always comes back to the child and their learning environment. And when Adam says, you know, think progressively, you would think that that's common sense, but selecting things like even color palettes becomes really a work of research-based collaboration and trying to understand how that impacts children. What are some of those things, Andrea, that go into that design process to impact a child's learning?
Yeah, so I think when I think about what I do, and I work at Loth, but I also feel like I have a little home here too at Indian Hill. And so you have to really, in my shoes, invest yourself in the district and invest yourself in the people that you're with. And I think that's the one thing that we did really, really well here, is it was a partnership between the district leadership and the individual principals at the school that we were doing. And they were really, really engaged. And we were able to really look at all of these little things and talk about it. And so while, yes, I work at Loth, I also feel like in order for me to give you the best place possible, I need to put myself on your staff in a way. And I need to think about, you know, as a parent myself with a kid about to go to school, I think about how do I want her to learn? What kind of environment do I want to give her? And so it was really important to me to feel just as invested as your team and to really take into consideration all the things we talked about. I think the caster conversation, you know, you talk about wheels and on desks and chairs, that was a huge thing.
Mobile furniture.
Exactly. Because you want to be able to quick move from lecture-based to group mode to, you know, collaboration where you can put the desks in a circle and talk about it. And when we originally did this, we put casters on tables and we didn't put it on the chairs. And after that first year of piloting, we realized everything needs a caster. They're moving, and while you think this 12-pound chair isn't really that heavy, the amount of time it took to get from one learning mode to another was huge. And so it's a change that we made when we did the rest of the building, and then we modified the rooms that we did originally in the pilot to match that. But it's something so simple as a caster. And through all of these discussions and watching them move the room from group to lecture to, you know, all of those things, it was really just such a collaborative effort to see what we saw and it being used, and everybody willing to come around the table and be like, here's how much it would cost to do this, here's how much it would cost to do that. And when you take it back, the savings that we found because you piloted, you were able to make that dollar go further.
Yeah, I think to the tune of about $350,000+ for our taxpayers, which we hope would be satisfactory, right? Because again, we're building a home for community, mm-hmm. and really looking at the school and our taxpayers as the owners of this amazing facility or facilities. And then when you think about things like how you work together as a team, I appreciate that you're saying you were invested as a partner and emotionally, and I think both of you, we've seen that, of course, from the company. Adam, you're also a parent in the community. When you come to the buildings now and you see some of these finished pieces, and obviously you know you were a part of that, but what does it mean for your children as learners?
Well, it's a special, I think, a unique situation to be able to have a direct impact through my profession on the educational experience of my children. And so I'm thankful for the partnership and the opportunity to do that. But to know that, through our organization and the efforts of our team and the collaboration with your team and your teachers and principals, it's, you can't ask for anything better than that, because at the end of the day, when they get on the bus and they go to school for, 7 hours, Monday through Friday, what you do day in and day out is having a direct impact on their learning experience.
Yeah.
K through 12, which is fantastic.
I think you should be proud, and I think it's fantastic, both professionally and personally, that we have such invested partners. And, Andrea, you touched on this idea of selection and design and going through something, and obviously the Castor as an example, testing out the comfort for students, right? We all went to school in a different era when I don't really know that everybody was really concerned about our daily comfort while we were learning, but it is so important to the learning environment. Just like natural light is important to a learning environment, or color is important for your brain. When you see the kids, you know that they love the furniture, right? And some of the pieces that you all selected and put in certain areas, you can tell that we got it right because they're smiling and they're comfortable, right? And teaching and learning for now and the future includes this element of comfort. And I think, like you said before, quality, right? If you can learn in an environment like this, you can thrive in an environment like this. And I think your company gets that. I think that you tried to do that from the get-go with our team. So for other people who are thinking about this and they don't interact with like your company all the time, or maybe it's another educator who's thinking about what classrooms should be like now and in the future, what's some advice that you would give them? Obviously, they know they're going to have to spend some money if they're going to build something or renovate something. But what's some advice that you would give them about going through the process to make the best decisions for kids?
I think the biggest piece is to find a group that you can trust that's willing to be a guinea pig, and to try stuff, to ask questions, to pilot something. I think to outfit an entire school is no small expense. And to just look through a picture book and say, yeah, this looks good and that looks good, and to order at that quantity, how do you know it's right? How do you know that this size and shape and color is really going to help your students thrive? And so having a team that's willing to take the time out of their normal daily activities to test those things is huge. I think the more research that you can get on yourself internally on what works and what doesn't makes the biggest difference. And so this isn't something that at the end of the school year you can say, what are we going to install this summer? It's a long-term project, and we're here lockstep with you to go through that process and help you understand what it means to pilot, to look at the different things that you should be asking. But I think you need to take the time and have a group to help you. It's not a person's decision in a vacuum because their job title says, I'm in charge of facilities. It's leadership in education. It's leadership in, people's behavior.
And listening to kids.
Yeah, and listen. I mean, they have an opinion. And
sure.
When you listen to their opinion, I was fortunate that I was here the day the teachers walked in for the first time, and I was here when some of the students got to walk through for the first time. And just to see the joy on their faces and the excitement, and then I'm living it through social media as you guys post all of this stuff, and it is so personally rewarding for me to see how these kids are using these spaces. And then you're hosting an event for adults and public on social media that I'm getting to see, and I'm like, I never thought you could move that over there. What a great idea for this. And so just to see how everything is so flexible to be able to allow you guys to do the things with kindergartners all the way through your adult patrons in the community is really cool.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I think, again, you all have shown us how to go through a process. And so, you know, to my question again, I think, Adam, when we met early on, right, you kind of said, hey, there's a variety of ways that we can help you. And obviously, you investing some time and energy into setting up pilot classrooms is one thing. But your company has a lot of resources at its disposal. So can you just explain that a little bit as people are in the dreaming mode of what can I do, how you can help them?
Sure. So, I mean, contract furniture is not something that, you know, a lot of people are familiar with in their day-to-day job, such as your cabinet team, you know. So we try to simplify very complex process in industry. And, you know, from take a really consultative approach into working with our clients and understanding their needs and their vision and their goals, like we touched upon, and opening their eyes through, again, sharing, you know, research and insights, or showing conceptual thought starters on forward-thinking spaces or layouts, to creating budgets, doing layouts from our design team, and above and beyond furniture procurement, and helping you look at different manufacturers across varying price points and degrees of quality or design aesthetics. We also offer services, as mentioned, design.
And you basically told me, right, you can source things from anywhere. If we need to find something that works, you can find it.
We can.
Yeah.
And we have preferred trusted manufacturing partners, many of which are represented throughout your schools now.
Well-known brands that you've worked with and you trust.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think that what I'm already receiving, right, in our organization is this feedback as people flow through these spaces and they say, oh, here's a contemporary space. It was designed to be progressive, and it's ready for learning now and in the future. And this group obviously was trying to anticipate some of that. I don't even think we've scratched the surface yet on how we're going to use some of these spaces, but I know we've got the right kinds of pieces in all the spaces. But people are asking, right? Like, who did this? Who designed this? And I think people are going to be asking about WAF for years to come. And what I would say is, it's not just your brand, it's also your team, and that you were really responsive to us when we came to you and said, we need a team approach. We need to do this right. We need to do this for our community members the right way. And so I truly appreciate your work with us to do that and to listen. And I hope that our team listened as well. This has been such an amazing journey, but you want to do it with the right partners. And I feel like we got it right with WAF. So thank you both. Let's finish up with a little bit of fun here, because we like to put everybody on the spot. I just had some seventh graders tell me. So, Andrea, you get done hard day of work with all the people at Indian Hill, and you get to leave campus, and you're going out for your go-to meal with the family. What's your go-to?
If you ask my four-year-old, she would tell you Texas Roadhouse.
Okay, that's good.
So I think that's close to home and where we would go.
Hit the Roadhouse.
Right, yeah.
Right up the road. There
yeah.
You go. All right, Adam. You're leaving the gym, you're leaving the art room, you're leaving a building again. Where are you guys going?
If I don't say Rhodey, which is an Italian restaurant in Loveland, I don't think I'd be allowed back in the house, but my children absolutely love Rhodey. Their food's phenomenal. The kids get pizza or pasta, and then they have a very special chocolate lava-like
dessert. Awesome. Day, after a hard week at work with the Indian Hill team, you all deserve that, I'm quite certain. Let's leave it with this. Tell me, when you think of Indian Hill and you think of that IH brand, what you've been through the last 3 years, what stands out to you, if you don't mind, Andrea?
I think the word passion comes to mind. The students are super passionate to walk in this building and get to use all these spaces. The staff and the leadership is super passionate about doing this, and I've worked with so many schools and designed so many spaces in the 10 years I've been doing this, and I've just never met people that have the passion and the care for what they're truly doing.
Oh, that makes me proud. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I don't mean to put you on the spot about it, but that makes my day. Adam, what comes to your mind about the brand here? You're a local Brave.
Well, the first thought that popped in my mind, and she stole it, was
passion. Then now you need another one.
Well done. You know, my family attended the middle school opening and then the state of the schools presentation, which was remarkable. And I think to all of the different programs that the school has to offer, from the arts to music to sports to the Special Olympics, the Frozen Play, and where you're headed with your just the district and the vision and the entrepreneurship center. So I think of commitment to growth and offering variety so that kids can find their passion and try different things.
That's great, and I love the wording you chose, because a lot of that wording I would use to think about your company. And you know, I think we have a really strong brand here, but I know that you do too. And we are so proud to have both of you here today on the Edge of Hero podcast, and so proud that Loth is a partner. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking about Loth and these buildings for years to come with lots of other people that are interested to learn. And that's because of the work of your team with our team. And truly appreciate you both. And thanks for taking some time to be on the Edge of Hero podcast.
Thank you so much.